to talk to you based upon this conversation we've been having called Higher Above It All. And really, it's hidden in that is a conversation that the Lord wanted us to have regarding what does the apostolic church look like? What's the difference between an apostolic church or a church that has a evangelistic pastor or a church who has a prophetic pastor? You can have congregations that have different kinds of leaders over them. And so they're not all the same. And so when we look at a church, we always go, oh, all these churches, that's not a good church because that church doesn't have this. Well, it doesn't mean it's supposed to have that. It just means that it's supposed to have whatever it's supposed to have. So an apostolic church has a specific bend to it. An evangelistic church has a specific bend. I think Joel Osteen is a dynamic evangelistic church. There's lots of people getting saved, lots of people being equipped to win the lost.
Yeah.
And that's the primary gift there.
Yeah,
there's so many different. Rick Warren is a primary gift of a missionary. You know, there's always these ministries that have leadership that it filters down into something, it moves down into. But God wanted us to know about the apostolic church, and I believe the apostolic church is also something that He wants to be mandated for the last days. It's a kind of church that's necessary to raise and equip the believer for a specific atmosphere and a specific thing that's going to be happening in the earth. So even though we have other churches, there has to be the kind of church that's a apostolic church, which is the which has the foundation of fathering, of mentoring, of discipleship, of equipping and planting, equipping and sending. And it builds a platform in conjunction with the prophet. So the apostle and the prophet working together, they lay the foundation. And then it is grown from that with teachers and pastors and evangelists. And it continues to grow. If you look at the book of Acts, it all was designed to start with the apostle and the prophet and then works its way up into the evangelist, the teacher, and, you know, literally only, I think there's only one or two times that the word pastor is there in the scripture. They're considered elders, elders. So we have to know that God's intention for us is to have this kind of church that has the first of all, a foundation that is apostolic in its nature, meaning we're taking ground, we're hearing from God, we're taking it, we're putting it in a system and strategies and plans and purposes, and we're moving it forward with a blueprint.
Yes.
Right? Apostles have to work with God with a blueprint.
Yes.
It has to be that. So it's very important that we see that. So Jesus, as we're dealing with this, we kind of launched off last week from this idea in Ephesians before we get into it. Ephesians, where was it? Ephesians chapter 4:15, and then we're going to get into our background picture in a moment. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speak the truth in love. So the revelation that's important for an apostolic church is that truth is truth. Truth is actually truth. Truth is fully revealed and fully known. So there's a constant desire and hunger for the truth, for knowing, for revelation. God, what are you saying? God, what are you thinking? God, what are you doing? God, what do you want? And when you ask those questions, then God gives you the blueprint, and then there's the formulation, the execution of actioning that out, of making that happen. I know this may sound a little, you know, a little intense just laying off, but we're going to get into it in a moment. But I want you to understand, he says, the apostolic church has this revelation that we speak the truth in love, and this speaking the truth in love may cause us to grow up, all to grow up into Him who is the head. So we have a matching issue. We have to match our head. We have to grow up to the point of our head. You see, babies sometimes they have
bigger heads
than bodies, and they can't walk. I think sometimes they can't even pick up their very heavy head in the beginning, and that baby grows up into its head.
We give them tummy time to strengthen their neck.
So we are in our body. The body crisis is a baby body, right? It's a baby body with a huge, like, awesome, amazing Jesus head.
Yes.
And we have to grow into what can handle the power and the weight of our head, the authority of our head. And so that's what this telling the truth is all about. We have to speak the truth.
What a powerful thought. That we have to grow into the strength and also the size to handle the authority of our head, who is Jesus.
Yeah, because the mindset of it is that He's the head, but the neck and the shoulders
whole body.
It starts where the body is. And then the Bible says all the governments are on his shoulders.
Yes.
So that means on us. We have to be able to handle the weight of governments. One of the things that I was sharing with our influencers yesterday is that we have to think that if what we're encountering is affecting the globe, then we can no longer be localized in our mind.
No.
We have to be globalized in our mind.
We have to become
global in our everything we do, our friendships, our relationships. You know, like that our family, most of our family, we know people around the other countries and we're online with them. We're talking to them because we have to be global. If your life is isolated to local, then you need to work on being global. If your business is isolated to local, you got to work on being global.
Yeah, ministry too. If you are in the prayer ministry, you can't just focus on yourself.
You got to be global.
And your family and your friends and maybe your church. You got to be global and say, Lord, what do you want? What's the government right now that needs to be executed?
Yes, exactly. So in this process that we're thinking about the truth, we also dissected a little bit the word the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth is first. And then second word was hidden. Two words compounding together. First, hidden. The truth is always first hidden. It's not first revealed. It's not obvious. It's not exposed. It's a hidden thing. And so you have to know the kingdom of God never comes observation. It's never obvious. It's always first hidden.
And seek it out.
And it needs to be revealed. It needs to be aha. It needs to be something that is, you don't see it at first. You have a lot of questions about it. You're always going, well, what is this? What is this? Why isn't this happening? If you're not doing that, you're not getting close to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God demands that you constantly are asking questions, because between what you know and what you want to know or where you want to go, there's always the hidden. There's always something that is not seen and not revealed.
Yeah.
So with this, I wanted to jump into John chapter 8.
Nice.
John chapter 8. So I wanted to just give you a little background. We're going to go in this John chapter 8. Now, John chapter 8 is I never realized how intense it was. I think the whole book of John is intense. But this conversation that's happening in John chapter 8 is pretty, pretty amazing. It starts off, there's so many dimensions to it. There's a woman who's being caught in the midst of adultery, being cast in front of Jesus, and Jesus has to deal with the Pharisees. But if you look at it from the beginning to the end, it's a battle of wit and a battle of truth and lies between the Pharisees and Jesus.
Yeah.
Him questioning them questioning him, and the conversation really goes with truth, lie. You look through it all. And so we're just going to read a couple of verses. We can't read all of it, but we're going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to start in verse 31. And you may not have this in your notes because this is added later. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and says, and you shall know the truth. So he says, if I abide in his word, the word is going to actually cause me to know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. Mm-hmm. And that's the part I want you to get, is that truth always has freedom in it. Truth never has bondage in it. Truth always has freedom.
Yeah.
So the reason you must know the truth is to get rid of ignorance. Ignorance has bondage in it.
And there's a certain level of truth, but then when you go to a higher truth, you get more freedom.
Yes. Yes, because the higher level of truth is always based upon a level of ignorance that you're overcoming.
Yes.
So truth is always a battle against ignorance. And what these gentlemen are wanting Jesus to do, Jesus is not ignorant. Jesus is intelligent, constantly growing in truth, constantly understanding, constantly developing, and came with revelation. But he basically, the Bible says, he let go of everything that he was, his reputation, and started fresh here, learned here, grew here, developed here. So we know that he's constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly asking questions. He's after the truth. And the greater the truth you have, the greater the freedom you have. If you don't have truth, then you don't have freedom. If you still have things hidden, then it's an ignorance and it's a lack of freedom.
It's bondage.
It's bondage. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the next verse I want to show you. In verse 34, it says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Why is that? Because sin keeps you ignorant. Sin keeps you in a bondage of ignorance. You don't know the truth. What's the truth? Is how powerful you are over it. You're not a slave to it. You are actually to enslave it. You are more powerful than sin. You're more powerful than falling. You're more powerful than failing. And so when you actually give into that, you're actually giving, it's now showing us, it's not just I fell into sin, it's about mastery.
Yes.
It's about now I've submitted my intelligence. I've submitted my intelligence to ignorance, and now I'm going to be enslaved by my ignorance, by a slave master who keeps me bound to this. And the word sin means missing the mark.
Yes.
It means I'm not hitting the level that I know I can hit. I'm not actually running at the pace. I remember when I was in high school that I had to run the 40s, you know, 40s. And so there was times I'm like, oh man, I'm just so tired to run 40s. But I had to run 40s. But it was amazing how you could run 40s when you know you're being timed and it's going to qualify you and whether or not you can be on the starting team. Right. And so you have to get a good time. Right. And so I remember having to run. And I remember running. But the realization is there's times when your coach knows you're not actually bringing the best. And there's an ignorance that thinks that you can fake it. Your coach actually knows when you're hustling.
Yes.
But you are actually pretending. You're faking it.
Yeah, he can tell by
it's a lie. So in the midst of the difference is there's a truth and there's a lie.
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's a truth or there's a lie. The lie, the reason for a lie is to keep things hidden.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, Paul said that too. You haven't even resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. I mean, it's like you're not giving it your all.
Yes.
You're not really being the overcomer that I know you are.
And we've been kind of stumped a little bit with the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the sense that we believe that Jesus gave his all so we don't have to. And this is a lie.
That is ignorance.
That is absolute ignorance to think that anyone in this earth can give less than their best and expect to do well.
Yes.
I mean, okay, yes, he will make up the difference beyond my best and what could be.
Yes.
He'll make up that difference, but he's not going to make up the difference for my
lollygagging
and my being lazy. He's not going to make up the difference for that. Because the coach always knows.
Yes.
The coach always knows.
He wants our best.
You can actually, I've seen you run this 40s. When we're timing it, you run it this way. And I notice your posture. I notice your lean.
Yes.
I notice your force. I know your thrust. I notice your face intensity. I notice everything. I know what you look like when you run full board. I noticed what you look like when that bear was chasing you, right? I know. So don't do this right now. Don't act like you don't have the energy now. You have to stimulate yourself into this energy. Now that's the difference between the truth and the lie. The truth is the lie. The truth is, okay, there's a part where I get to, but then there's the revelation of what I just don't know. And that's hidden. That's an okay hidden.
Yes.
Because that is yet to be revealed.
Yes.
But that which I'm hiding,
we have to live in the truth that we have.
We have to live in the truth that we have.
And any leader doesn't mind people making mistakes, but leaders hate it when people don't give their all.
And this is the difference between the apostolic church.
Yes.
The apostolic church is in the sense of constantly under the eye. It's like we're always under, like the clock is always, it's like everything's always being timed. Everything's always being timed. You don't actually have a practice. Everything's being timed. Even though it may be practice, it's as if everything's being timed.
Yes.
You're running against the timer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the revelation is that you don't actually have the kind of leisure that just says, okay, well, Jesus is going to take care of it. Well, Jesus is taking care of it. He gave me a weapon. He gave me his word. He gave me his blood.
His whole
he gave
armor,
me, and now he wants my participation.
His name and authority.
Yes. Because the apostolic church must have a participational people.
Yes.
A people
everybody
who participate.
Doing their part.
That's an army. Can you imagine an army that literally you're in the army and someone says, I'm not going to participate this week. You better be sick. You better be like on another assignment, or you better be sick. But you can't just be coming in the barracks sleeping, laying around chilling while we're out there laying our lives on the line. That's the apostolic church. That's the 300. That's that.
And
that.
It contradicts the culture, because the culture says, I'm going to call in sick when you're not sick.
Right. And that's a lie.
The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So we have to live violently in the truth that we have.
Yes.
Expecting
intensely
as we're seeking truth, more will be revealed.
Now, this doesn't mean you don't have family time. We have family time. We have rest time. But that's intentional.
That's on purpose.
We don't just sit around and just, I mean, we do, everything's pretty much intentionally. So you do rest. You do have fun. You do laugh. You do all that stuff. You don't become like weird and anxious and none of that. But
militant.
You live intentionally.
Yes.
You live with knowing that this moment is going to be relaxing time. This is going to be a, you know, anyway, I just want to just make sure that no one feels like, oh, I got it now. Just no, we want to just make sure you understand that when God's thinking, he's thinking that there's an enemy. So if you knew that there was an enemy looking at you,
yes,
you wouldn't relax all the time, right? You would, and if you were relaxed, you'd make sure that you're very secure in your relaxing.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go to verse 44.
Relaxing is really to get more strength.
Yeah.
It's an intaking.
Recovery.
It's not just being lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to feel like they have to, there's now a performance, because people are always like, no, we're not going to be performance driven. Well, you have to be, kind of, because one day you will
fruit.
Actually have to give an account.
Yeah.
So there's no accounting if there's no need for performance.
Right.
Verse 44. And you are of your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. This really got me right here, because this is, again, the truth. But this is interesting, because I realize if I don't tell the truth, it's as good as murder in God's mind. Because there is something I'm cutting short.
The truth brings life.
I'm cutting something short. See, what the enemy did is he uses ignorance to cut short your power, your ability. He uses what you don't know against you. And then he hides and he uses it as a murder. So if I know that, use this example of, we call it false finish lines. This is an example of false finish lines. If I'm running a 100-yard dash, a lot of athletic stuff today. I'm running a 100-yard dash. Happy birthday.
I love that. Yeah, that's what I used to do in school.
We run a 100-yard dash, and all of a sudden someone comes and strings a yellow tape across at 60 yards, and they say, come on, you can make it to the 60-yard dash, and we stop and we get the 60-yard dash, but everybody keeps sprinting past us. That is a liar, and they just murdered the rest of our race.
Yeah, the whole point, we were there.
They killed off our future. They killed off our destiny by giving us a false finish line. They lied to us, and that lie created a false finish, and then it killed off the rest of our lives. This is what you and I need to know, is that the enemy wants to tell you a lie for the sake of murdering your destiny, for the sake of murdering off who you really could be, so that you can stand before the Lord one day and he goes, I don't really get you. You don't actually look like who I thought you were going to look like.
Yes.
It's because you actually quit early. You quit before time because you were told a lie. You were told a false.
That it was about something that it wasn't about.
Or that you actually were finishing your part
good enough now.
In the relay race too early.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're trying to hand off and no one's there. And so we have to get to this part. I want it because that you have to really see, because when God saw that he was a liar and he didn't have the truth, God called him a murderer. What he did to Eve in the garden, he literally lied to her and he says, you shall die.
Yeah.
And he murdered her.
Even though he said, you shall not surely die.
Yeah, but he knew she would die. Should not surely die. But he knew she would die by taking this of that, changing the truth. He changed the truth.
Yeah.
She took the fruit. And when she took the fruit, she started dying from what her real purpose could be, of what she really could accomplish, of what she really could do. You've had teachers tell you something, well, you're no good at this, don't even try. But it doesn't mean you wouldn't be good at it. Maybe you keep on trying.
Maybe that's your destiny.
Maybe you keep on trying, that's your destiny. They just are meeting you in a place where you're not growing as fast in that area, and it's going to kick in later.
Yeah.
And you should keep trying. You shouldn't stop trying, you should keep trying. But the devil will say, stop trying. Don't even try to be a good husband. Don't even try to be good at this. Don't even try. See, that's murder. He's murdering your possibility. He's murdering your potential. He's murdering you by keeping you in ignorance of what you actually could be from where you are and where you're going to be. I asked the Lord this week. I said, Lord, this is where I am, but this is where I want to be. What's in between where I am and where I want to be? Mm-hmm. So that's hidden to me. I want revelation. Mm-hmm. The devil says, don't worry about it.
This is
what you, everybody should be satisfied with this. You should be happy with this. But I have something else I feel is a part of my destiny, and I want to dig into that. There's some hiddens there.
Yeah.
Now, is that hidden deception, or is that hidden ignorance, or is it just hidden to be revealed? And that's the difference, because the enemy wants me to be hidden, deceive me to the point of ignorance. Ignorance is that I really start to ignore that part again.
Yeah.
Ignorance is not just that I'm just dumb or I need something revealed. Ignorance is when I literally start to ignore what I think is possible because I'm settling here.
Yeah.
That's how the enemy murders.
Yeah.
He murders by getting a person to settle for what they're less than.
To shrink things. I mean, that's what happened also with Judas. He made it about something that it wasn't about.
Totally took it out of its right.
Took the whole purpose of Jesus out of this perspective of temporary life. And he wanted Jesus to rise up and take care of the Roman problem. And that's not at all why he came. It was much bigger than that.
No, because part of Rome was incorporated in all of that. But the realization is that Judas rejected the real Jesus.
Yes.
Because of his ignorance.
Yes.
Right? He was ignorant to the real Jesus.
Deceived.
Jesus was trying to reveal himself, but Judas already had a mindset of what the end looked like. He wasn't allowing the scales to be removed, the limitations to be removed, the aha to come, and to see what the Messiah looks like.
He could have asked questions.
Yes.
He could have asked Jesus, is this really what it's about, what I'm thinking? Is this the right track?
Yes.
That's what I love about you saying, okay, I'm here, but I know I'm supposed to be there. Deep calls to deep inside of me. Purpose and destiny is there. What is in between?
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is good. The Spirit of truth. He'll reveal if it is deception, if it is ignorance, or if it is to be revealed.
Yes. And you know, if it's, you will kind of have a sense that it's ignorance when if you just act like there's no more anything over there for you. But it still keeps coming back to you. And I thought about that before, but and it comes back again. I thought about that before, and it comes back again. Why does it keep visiting? Why does it keep coming back? It's because there is a sense of destiny over there that you may actually have to actually go, okay, is there anything? And then stop ignoring it. That's the part that I want you to get about the lie. The lie is you believe the lie, you'll start ignoring the truth. Remember, the truth is something that still needs to be revealed to you.
Yeah.
It is not something that you already possess. You possess the truth that's now should be in the form of knowledge, and it should be in the form of wisdom, which is application. Between where I am and where I want to go is the need for knowledge, but that knowledge is going to leave me into a puffed up state, which makes me ignorant if I don't find the wisdom of how to apply that.
Actually, so living in it.
I need to actually know how to action out that truth, live in that truth. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be just knowledge. It has to become wisdom. So if it's not wisdom, I'm still ignorant to it. I still don't have the wisdom of God. And so you need to know if someone has ever rejected you, rejection has happened. It's just because they don't actually see the fullness of what you look like when you hit the mark, what you look like when it's full, when you actually... They see a part of you. They see the growing and the still being revealed of you. And to reject you while you're still being revealed is ridiculous because there's so much more to be revealed in you.
Yeah.
And so I want us to get this because the enemy, I'm going to read this last part of John 8 and I want to read a couple more scriptures. Hopefully this is not too deep.
This is great.
I want you to realize the reason that you need to be a part of the apostolic in this day and age is because the apostolic constantly is removing ignorance.
Yeah.
It's always addressing lies.
Revealing.
And now, not in the part where someone's always going to be calling you out. That's not the point.
No,
the point is,
by revealing
it's
truth.
Always revealing lies. How do you reveal a lie? By showing what true potential is.
Yes.
Not by saying, hey, you lied to me. That's not revealing of a lie. Revealing of a lie is, I know you thought you couldn't do this, but let me show you. I really see that you can do this. You really could do this. And being positive with the reinforcement of what's possible, that reveals the lie. And when it reveals the lie, then that person is no longer ignorant to their potential, and then they're able to step into that potential, because now the truth is now setting them free. Mm-hmm. And the whole time these Pharisees are arguing with Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm connected to my Father. My Father and I are one. I'm the son of Abraham. And they're going, you can't be, you can't be, you can't be. You see the difference? What they're doing is he's saying, I see the fullness of my potential. I'm stepping into the fullness of what God has for me. I'm being who God wants me to be. And the whole time they're going, there's no way you can be that. You're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? You think you're smarter than Abraham? Who do you think you are? You think you're smarter than me? That's ignorant conversation. Ignorance is always trying to, I'm not comparing myself to you. I'm talking to me and my God. Me and in the moment someone starts to try to compare themselves and tries to pull me down with comparisons, that shows me their ignorance.
Yeah.
They're ignorant. I'm not the, because I'm not even trying to, I didn't even thought about I'm better than Abraham, but before he was, I was.
That's what he said.
Before he was, I am. In the term of I existed before he existed.
Oh my word.
In everything that I'm teaching, but he first taught what I, right?
You what have to I taught him.
What I taught him. So you have to understand, yes, it's true, but that was not Jesus' truth. Jesus was not working on that truth. Jesus was working on the truth. My Father and I have a business here to do. We're here to love people. We're here to help people.
Deliver
we're here
you.
To make yes. people free. If you take my word and you receive my word, they really get upset with him. He says, I am the light of the world. And they said, who do you think you are? You are the light of the world. See, that's how the enemy tries to keep you in the lie, in the ignorance, by contradicting who you think you are. The Bible says we shouldn't be too much into, you know, we shouldn't think more than what we should of ourselves, because there's a revelation of who we are. We have that revelation. And then we have a reaching.
Yeah.
But the realization is you're not supposed to think like you're just teeny weeny little nothing small. You have to know that you have potential and you have something to actualize that potential.
I think you think of yourself too much if you think that you are the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
But when you understand that God's greatness is in me, all of God is in me to be the part that is necessary that I fulfill.
Yeah.
And the whole part. We can't fall short. We got to give all that we are, become all that we are with the greatness of God inside of us. That's amazing because, you know, here he's talking about Abraham. I was before Abraham, basically taught Abraham everything that I am and that I know. But that's what he says about us too. We're the light of the world now.
Yeah, what's really powerful is we are the light of the world, and we have to shine and we have to manifest that.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to tell you that you're not. You're a night light, or you're some kind of like, you're a light, but not that big of a light.
Only
or you're a 10 watt, right? He tries to actually limit and minimize you.
Word.
And he tries to, you know, it's like those, I used to like those lights that where you could go click and it would be 30% of it, 60% of it, 100%
of it.
Too. You know, three levels.
Yeah, or dimmers. Dimmers.
And the thing is he tries to keep you fully dim. He tries to keep you at the lower levels
lowest
of what
capacity.
Your full capacity, your full potential is. I want to get to this part. I know we're running out of time, but I have 7 pages and this is one.
And I own time.
He says when he speaks a lie, this is still talking about that the enemy. He's a murderer.
Yeah.
Remember, don't just think, well, he's just trying to get me. No, he's trying to murder you.
Yes.
This is the term. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And then God tells us the secret. He doesn't know the truth, so he only knows how to lie. Everything he says is a lie. Everything he says, even if he's trying to tell the truth, it all comes out as a lie. He doesn't know the fullness of who you are, so you can't believe what he says. He doesn't know who you are. He wasn't there when God created you in the image that God created you in. He doesn't know what the expectation of your potential is. And so when he starts to talk to you about who you are, what you can't do, what you couldn't do, he's a liar, because it says the truth is not in him. He does not stand in the truth. I just love that way.
He doesn't have it. Yeah, this King James says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar.
Yes.
So, I mean,
that's the next part when we're going.
Oh, okay, yeah. Where we're going. I love this scripture. It's so powerful.
But I want you to get, so you can only speak from where you stand.
Yes.
And so he doesn't stand in the truth, so he can't speak in the truth. He stands from, his stance in life is lying.
That means he has nothing to say about me, because I'm made by the
exactly,
truth.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. The truth, God, when God made you, he made you full with an understanding. Of course, there's things that need to be revealed. That's mm-hmm. what truth is that things still need to be revealed.
Grow, yeah.
Right? That's beautiful. I love that. I can't get enough. I can't drive that enough. I know it sounds repetitive,
yes.
But I can't drive that enough, because you may think, well, I just will never do it because look what I've done. No,
there's still so
things
to
be revealed. The truth is not that you know everything. The truth is still that there's more to be revealed.
Yes.
It was first hidden. Yes. Now it's the truth. What is it when I don't know then? It's revelation to come.
Yeah.
It's ahas to be experienced. It's not ignorance, because you're not ignoring it. You know, you're not ignoring it, right? You're not just saying, I don't know. This is the next part. I want to get into this. My wife read it, and this it says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. What does that one say?
He speaks of his own.
He speaks of his own. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that he speaks from his resources. He has a very limited resource.
Whatever he scrambled together.
He has limited resources.
It's a bunch of garbage.
He's a junk man.
Yeah.
Right? He has limited resources.
There's no truth or light in it.
For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this is what really got my attention. All this, literally what we've been saying for the last 30 minutes has nothing to do with the message. Seriously.
But it was good.
But it was a setup for this one statement, this one thought. He says that he's a liar. That word, and he lies, he's a liar. That word liar is the word pseudo. Pseudo.
Oh, yeah.
Pseudo this, pseudo that, pseudo.
Yeah.
Pseudo, it's like a pseudo Christian.
It's
somewhat.
Fake,
yeah, somewhat Christian. A little bit of this, a little
kinda
bit of that.
Kind of looks like it.
Kind of Christian. So what he wants to do is he wants a pseudo life, the word pseudo, it's a falsehood, a lie, lying. This is the Greek
wow.
of it, the Greek word that you would have. It's intentional or conscious falsehood in a broad sense. And I love this part. I don't love this part, but this description: whatever is not what it seems to be, it's
wow.
pseudo. And that's how you know if someone has a lie
yeah.
working in them.
Yeah.
Is when it's pseudo. The whole time Jesus is fighting, he's playing, Erhu's playing in the background, and he's like with the, and he's fighting the attack of the pseudo
against
him.
The real.
It's trying to knock him down to be a pseudo Messiah. Not a full Messiah, a pseudo deliverer.
Yeah.
So I just kind of delivered me. Yeah, I went there, but it was kind of, you've heard that term. It's
yeah.
just kind of pseudo. And so we have to understand that God doesn't want pseudo Christians. He doesn't
no.
want Christians who are just partially in,
they look
partially
religious,
out.
But
they go to church, but they don't live the church throughout the week. They talk one way when they're with their Christian friends, and then they talk another way when they're
different
with their
standards.
Unchurched friends. That's pseudo. That's
yes.
not. That's not truth. That's ignoring the responsibility that you have to be full, to be full on. Oh man, I'm gonna have to come
yeah,
back to this.
I love that, because it's like even in certain countries, like the real church is illegal, but then the state church is allowed because it's a pseudo church.
It's a pseudo church.
It can only say what the state or that nation, the government, says that they can say, and they cannot say the full truth.
Yes.
So that's pseudo.
It's
as well.
Pseudo Christianity.
It's
we don't have a pseudo Bible. I'm so glad that God didn't give us a pseudo Bible. But what's really amazing is that man makes it pseudo by their tradition.
Yes.
He says that the Bible you can actually make the word of God of no effect by your traditions. Your opinion makes the word of God pseudo. Even though you may teach out of the word, but your opinion added to it makes it pseudo. You can't mix it in. The modern definition of pseudo is not actual.
Wow.
Not actual.
Wow.
But having the appearance of.
Yeah.
It's a Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton.
I don't want one of those.
Happy birthday, love.
We used to go when we were first married and engaged. We used to go to the garment district in LA.
Pseudo.
And, you know, we were just getting started in life and we had no money to spend. And so everything was pseudo.
Pseudo.
And it doesn't last. It breaks down because it's not leather. It's pleather.
No.
And it's not gold or silver. It's, you know, it rubs off. It makes your skin green.
Yes.
It's no good.
You have to understand that is not God's intention.
That's not his will.
That's not his will. So God's plan is that you and I would not actually, that we would be actual. That we would, the modern definition is actual, not actually, but having the appearance of, to be pretend, to a sham, to be a sham, spurious, almost approaching. That's horrible.
Like enough to deceive.
Almost.
Like, wow, I thought, yeah.
So we need to know that God's design for us is not to be almost. Mm-hmm. Almost, I almost, even if I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I almost had victory in this life.
No.
I almost achieved what you wanted. I almost. What is it? Horseshoes and something else? Almost. I want you to get this, and I'm going to finish off with this. This Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians. I have so many other scriptures, but we're going to go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. No, that's not Ephesians 4. We are not even in there. Okay, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places.
The apostolic church.
So this is what this whole truth thing is about. They don't stand in the truth. They don't know the truth. You learning what's between you and where you're supposed to be, you stepping in that, causes them to see who you really are.
Yeah.
And when they see who you really are, then you're able to, you're growing and you're developing is the manifestation of wisdom. Remember, wisdom is the knowledge between where you are and where you're going and the application of that information, using that information to grow, using that information to develop. When you, the way you show the principalities and powers is by your growing.
Growing up into the head.
By you growing up into the head. By you developing. By you becoming better. They think ultimately that you're not going to become better. That you're not going to grow. That you're not going to be.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the full revelation of who you're supposed to be, which is Jesus on the earth. The whole creation is crying out for you to come.
Yes.
The principalities and powers hear the whole creation crying out for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
And they, and the principalities are going, no, it's not going to happen. We have them controlled. We have them fully locked in ignorance of who they are, of what their potential is. The head has moved up above them, and now you're going to grow right past them.
Yeah.
You're going to grow right past them.
Yes, above them.
Above them. And so I want you to get this. So we're going to be digging into this part over a few weeks.
I love
the manifold
this
wisdom of God. And I want you to see a couple words that I highlighted here as we close. And I'm going to read a couple of statements.
Right? Yes.
I got lots to say. To the intent that now. That's a key word.
Yeah.
Why now? Why now? Why not then? Why not with Abraham? Why not with Moses?
Mm.
Why not with the others? But why now with the church? The church is the only thing that has the power to grow up into the full stature of what Jesus is. The full stature of Christ. Abraham didn't have the potential. We see that argument.
Yeah.
In that John chapter 8. We see the argument that Abraham, although Abraham being dead, are you better than Abraham? Are you better than the prophets? They kept saying, "All the these men are dead. Are you better than them?"
They long.
They don't grow anymore.
Yeah.
Jesus is better because we can continue to grow. But Jesus died and rose again, showing that he will not stop at death. Where Abraham stopped, he can't stop.
Yeah.
He grew, went, sat at the right hand of the Father, still praying, interceding, still developing, still building, developing us, growing us up into him. This is shocking. This is shocking to principalities and powers when you become better. It's shocking when they don't know how to handle you. When they think you're going to go one way and you go another way. Well, one of the meanings for principality is the word magistrate. It's the word ruler. It's also for, like, if we were to say, oh, that person's in the political state, a political office. Yeah. They are ruler. They are principality. They're magistrate. They're principality. They're power. They're thrones. Jesus is being dealt with by these rulers in John 8. And they're saying, and he gets to the point where he's totally not buying into them. And he is completely frustrating them. And then he says something. And the next, you know, they're looking around and they're going to get stones to stone him. I want you to get this. Then the Bible says he hid himself. I don't know how he hid himself, but in the midst of what they were trying to throw at him, hid himself. I'm done revealing myself. I'm done showing you my wisdom. I'm going to actually confuse you now. Boom. Love that. Anyway, sorry. Yes. Jesus just like, okay, I was playing with you. I'm actually giving you guys some manifold wisdom.
He was trying to help them first.
That's one level of wisdom. Let me show you another level of wisdom. Yeah. I can disappear right now in the midst. And it says that he walked right past them. He walked, whatever he did to himself, I don't know if he cloaked himself with his, like, he maybe had a hood. I don't know if he went invisible because he does walk through walls. Yeah. I don't know. He walks on water. I don't know what he did, but whatever he did,
they couldn't see him anymore
because they don't stand in the truth. He went into another level of the truth that they couldn't conceive. They couldn't capture him. You can step into a level of truth because the enemy thinks he's got you. Oh, I know if I put this person in front of them, this is what they're going to have. This is what they do. If I put this dessert in front of them, this is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
He thinks he understands you. But when you step into another level of truth, you're hidden from him. You're completely hidden from him because he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand you.
There's no truth in him.
So he can't comprehend you when you rise to your next level of truth because all he can do is keep on telling you lies. And if he can keep you a slave to the lies that he's been telling you, then he gets you and he can keep on getting you. But at
the moment
you have a truth that he doesn't have, you're hidden to him. Mm. You're invisible to him.
You're in the truth.
And he starts looking for you and he can't find you. And you literally can be right there in the midst of him. You'll walk right past.
Yeah.
Walk right past him. Wow. I just love that we can actually be so far removed. This the Psalms 91 says that we're out of his reach.
Yeah.
Completely out of his reach.
Yes.
So for this intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers of heaven. Manifesting the many facets of God's wisdom is what God wants you to do. He wants you to have the knowledge that if knowledge never becomes wisdom, it's puffed up.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I want you to just to live in this and step into this, that there's a need for us to do the opposite of what Timothy 3:5 says. Having the form of godliness, but denying its power.
Second
Timothy 3:5. Having the form of godliness.
Looks
like it. Yeah, they're Christians, I think.
It's like a mannequin in the store window.
Looks like it.
Looks like a woman. No.
Pseudo-Christianity.
Yeah. That's even more dangerous than the absence, because then it's obvious. But when it is something without the power of it, that's when it's dangerous, because you don't look for the real anymore when you have a pseudo. If there's a complete absence, then you're going to keep looking.
Yeah.
But that's the danger of deception. Is you think you have it, but we can always judge it by, does it have the power of the kingdom of God manifest? The authority on the shoulders, is it actually manifesting And if not, I have to get back into the truth. Yeah. I have to ask the Lord questions. Sometimes when I'm not asking the right questions, he tells me what to ask. He'll say, ask me to teach you this. And I'm like, why don't you just teach me that?
Yeah.
But he wants us to ask. Because that makes you a seeker of the truth.
That's the only way revealing
happens.
And if
you seek, you will find. If you don't seek, if you're just like, you know, blasé about it, you're not going to find. But you have to be an intense seeker of the truth.
Yes.
The Pharisees thought they already had the truth. And they're just going to spank everybody with the truth they had.
Yes.
But if you're a person who says there's more truth to be revealed, and I'm seeking you for the truth, help my ignorance, teach me this, teach me that, teach me where to go, what is next, teach me what the ultimate apostolic church looks like in my life, then he's going to teach us. I love that about him.
And that's, you know, he sent us the teacher. The teacher.
Yes, the Holy Spirit.
One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 2. I'm going to only read, I had 10 and 11. You can look on the notes and see 10. But 11, it says, least Satan shall take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The only way he can take advantage of us is by keeping us in ignorance. If we refuse to be ignorant of his strategies, which is the apostolic church refuses to be ignorant of his strategies. If we refuse to be ignorant of his strategies, he will never be able to take advantage of us. This is about relationships. He'll never be able to destroy relationships and take advantage of us. He wants to break relationships in order to take advantage of us.
Yes.
But if we are not ignorant, if we don't ignore his devices, if we don't pretend like he doesn't have a... See, I think one of the most dangerous things is that the church would say, oh, there's really no devil.
He has no ability to do anything.
Yeah, that is the best thing for him to not have, not be revealed. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
And so we want to. I want you to know God doesn't want you to be ignorant to the devices of Satan, because that's how he takes advantage of us. But if you and I are seeking the truth, knowing the truth, we will never be lied to. And the lie, which is pseudo, and that lie is desiring to get in us and make us pseudo. Make us, you know, less than. Principalities and powers, they want you to stay ignorant involuntarily. And this is what they will do. They want you to be ignorant to your potential. They want you to be ignorant of your self-actualization, of his devices, of your calling, of your skill, of your anointing, of your gifts. It wants you to be ignorant of the times and the seasons. And it wants you to be ignorant of what to do in the right time. It wants you to be ignorant of your resources. I declare today that you and I are smart and we're bright in Christ Jesus as he, and we're open to his revelation. We are truth seekers. We are speaking the truth. We stand in the truth. Mm-hmm. Our Father is a truth giver. Our Father is not a liar. We are not of the father of lies. He's Satan, Lucifer is the father of lies. He's the, he's the one that is standing in that place. That's his resources.
Yeah.
And so we declare today our resources are from truth, from wisdom that is able to actually unfold and unfold and unfold itself. That's what revelation is.
Yeah.
Manifolding.
Yeah.
It's a manifesting over and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. You and I are going to have constant aha moments with Christ. Mm-hmm. Don't settle in where you are now. You're not completely at the mark where you're supposed to hit. No false finish lines for you. God has another stage for you, another step for you, another place for you. And you are apostolic because you will not settle for what's beneath you. You will continue to rise until you feel and you know you feel that gap between you and Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That gap is not going to be your destiny. And there was a woman that was in a wheelchair. She had a stroke and the Lord said to her, tell her that that's not her destiny.
That chair is not your destiny.
That stroke and the effects of that stroke are not your destiny. And when we told her that, she stood up out of that wheelchair and began to walk.
That was a revelation. The light came to her.
It was a light because she thought that was her destiny.
She was focused.
This is how she's going to be in that. All the doctors told her that. Satan has been telling her that. She's been telling herself that. When God said it was not her destiny, that he had another finish line for her, she stood up out of that and just started to walk towards
that
other finish
line.
Powerful
how truth is so powerful.
It sets you free.
It does a miracle. It sets you free. So, I mean, if there's been people that are constantly ignorant, you're in darkness, you're feeling like you just don't know what to do. You don't know what's next at all. And if you can see that as a principality, the devil wanting you to stay in the darkness, and understand that when you draw near to God and ask him to reveal himself in his word and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and reveal his light, that darkness is going to be expelled and miracles are going to happen in your life.
That's outstanding. Well, we want to pray for you. Pray that the blessing of God be upon you, that you walk in the fullness of what God has for you, that you no longer miss the mark. You're not living a lie, but you're going to live the truth. No longer a pseudo-Christian, a pseudo-family member, a pseudo-husband, but you're full on. Yes. You're fully walking in the fullness of potential. You may not be where you want to be, but you definitely have more aha, more unfolding wisdom to come your way. You're not done growing. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to build. Good. We believe that Jesus is with you and Jesus is for you. And we also want to say happy birthday to somebody. Happy birthday. So we love you.
Blessings. We
Tuesday
love you
night,
so much.
Tuesday night, we'll be back. Wednesday, yep, we'll be Thursday back. Night.
There will be lots of advertising going on social media and our website and the Citadel Church app. So stay in touch. Put it on your calendars. Tuesdays are biggies and Thursdays are biggies and Sundays are biggies. And we'll fill everything up. The rest of this month, we're still going to take communion every day. And you can keep going, but I'm going to keep writing articles in social media.
Great articles.
Every single day to help you walk in that life, eternity life.
So there you go. Happy birthday, somebody. All right, see you later.